Welcome to Loving Yourself Fit Podcast, where we talk about fitness, motivation, inspiration, self-love, loving those workouts, loving those healthy foods, loving yourself through the process, loving yourself fit. I'm Megan Hashem. Let's go. Welcome back to Loving Yourself Fit. And today I am joined by Terria Marotta. Welcome to the show, Terria. You're a woman of many talents and passions. And so I just want to kind of introduce you to the listeners. Tell them all that you do. Are you ready for this? Here we go.
Okay.
Training and performing since 3 years of age, Terria is a professional singer, lyricist, dancer, choreographer, three-time Canadian Latin Music Award recipient,
Woo!
Former two-time junior Canadian rhythmic gymnastics champion and national team member.
Yes, ma'am.
In addition to multiple-time Latin dance champion. So let's get started. Welcome.
Thank you. I love it. Yay. It's an honor to be interviewed by you.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on my show. Okay. You're a woman of many talents and passions, and I relate to you on that. Like, I'm always all over the place with a lot of stuff and lots of ideas and lots of passions. So I just want to pick your brain a little bit about that and how it relates to fitness. So I'll start by asking, how do you deal with like all these things you do? So how do you meld together? How do you do it all? How do you find time?
Well, I do this full time, so that's how I find the time. And I'm a night owl, so I will be up, you know, until the wee hours doing stuff. My creativity really kicks in around midnight. And my energy, believe it or not. Like, I don't like to teach morning classes because I feel like I don't give enough energy. And people are like, oh my God, you have so much energy. I'm like, wait till you see me at night. That's when I really have more of the energy. And then I find ways to intertwine all my things. Mm-hmm. For example, I teach a class, World Dance Fit. It's like dance cardio. It's basically me freestyling for an hour. Like, I'll like pull a playlist that morning. I'll be like, okay, I feel like 15 different countries, go. And I'll put all the different countries. And then I'll be like, I'm in that mood. And then I'll just freestyle. Like, I have like a you know, warm up, cool down, little boxing section, and the rest is just dance, dance, dance. I don't do crazy choreo, but I do, you know, 8, 16 of these, 16 of these, and everyone can follow. And a lot of times I use my own music. I didn't think when I was making music originally that I'd be making music for my cardio classes ever.
It's amazing.
But
it's
some
amazing.
Songs,
it's like blending.
It just worked out that way. And some songs, they don't work for the fitness, but they work for choreography,
yeah,
or for gymnastics or just dance in general. So that's kind of cool too. And then usually I have a lot of different versions of choreography to my own music, because like what I would do in a fitness setting and a dance routine is not the same as what I would be doing as a singer.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm singing, I'm dancing to the melody most of the time because I'm dancing and singing at the same time.
Yeah.
So I would be dancing to the instruments a lot more if I was doing it as a dancer per se.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a little confusing, but...
Cool. No, that's amazing. That's cool. So talk about your class you have. I see you on Facebook sometimes live doing classes. And let me tell you, everyone has to check her out because her energy is just, it flies off the screen at me. I see you every now and then on those lives and I'm like, oh my God, I want to start salsa now. I want to do this.
Oh my gosh.
How did you come up with your own class? And it's really kind of unique and uses a lot of different things, right? So how did that start? How did that all get going?
It's a good story. I moved to California in 2002 and I spent a good chunk, like almost 12 years there. And I lived down the I lived in this one spot in North Hollywood, but a studio moved into my street. Studio Loft. It was like a yoga studio. And they were looking for some kind of dance class, but it was more exercise-y.
Yeah.
And I wasn't used to that really. Like, I mean, I do gymnastics conditioning and all that, but I wasn't used to like cardioing it.
Yeah.
I just thought of it, you know, I just did dance, like, you know, combos and whatever. And so they were like, you think you could do something like this? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I came up with this name, International Cardio Dance,
yeah,
because I wanted to make it international. And I just started freestyling and people were following. So when I came, like I was coming back to Canada a lot for other projects. A very famous salsa dancer, Pedro Salazar, I don't know if you know that name, but he also was like really well known in the gym circuit because he was a aerobic instructor.
Right.
And he brought me in as a guest teacher when I wasn't living here, but I would be like going through, like just coming through, check out this girl's class, international cardio dance. And I would come through the, like, these gyms and do that up. And when I actually moved back here permanently, it became a thing. And then I'm like, okay, wait, let's rebrand this. So a girlfriend and I sat down. She was a salsa dancer from the Berlin days. I don't know if you remember Sue, but I call her La Sucia. Anyway, she and I sat down one day and she's like, we need to like come up with a better name. So we came up with World Dance Fit and WDF. It kind of stuck and it became, it became something at this gym that was the Pavilion, Force of Fitness, Express Fit. It changed names a million times.
Yeah.
But I stayed there. Once I got back into Canada, I was like, boom, I was a permanent fixture. And then people, they wouldn't write World Dance Fit on the schedule because they had Zumba and they wanted to call me Latin Fusion. And I'm like, but I'm not Latin Fusion. I'm World Fusion because I was doing Bhangra, belly dance, like Afrobeats. Yeah. Of course, Latin America was my main thing, but I hit whatever, right? And so I had a hard time with people allowing me to brand my class a certain way. Anyways, then the gym closed again and then COVID hit and then we had to do this online stuff. And I'm like, what is this? What is this online?
How is that for you?
I am not a fan. I am not. Those students are still following me and we do the classes. And now I'm back in person at my gymnastics school. They allowed me to have like an hour in between the night to have the ladies come in, like just a few of them. And the rest of them are still online because some of them are not ready to come in person yet. Yeah. And so we still do it. But online, I give you as much energy as I can give you, but I feed off energy as well. So when I have 30 people behind me, you know it's a different vibe. So I'm doing the best that I can online, but it's not my favorite.
It looks awesome though. I mean, it draws me in. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's totally different feeling, especially dancing with people, but not with, you're not with them really, but you are kind of. But yeah, it's hard, the online thing. I know, I'm going through that too. What would you say to people who aren't dancers? Like, we've been dancing all our lives. It's awesome. We know it's, well, first of all, tell me what you think dance does for you. Like, just what's the magic of dance for you?
Well, for me, dance is life. I was dancing before I could walk, and I started like a dance class when I was 3. And, you know, dance and gymnastics really from like was the majority of my life as an athlete and as a dancer and as a musician, but more so an athlete and a dancer. And I guess I could say. I could say that I'm not going to tell anyone how old I am. Because, but I'm older than you think and I have really good genes, but I am convinced that I look the way I do because I'm a dancer. Mm-hmm. I release so much doing dance. Like if I'm in a bad mood, I can dance it out. If I'm in a good mood, I could dance it in. You know, it just very seldomly do I feel like, oh, it's a chore. Like there might be days where you're tired or you're just not having it that day, but for the majority of my life, and I'm talking like the majority, it just brought me so much joy and happiness. And I think that I stay young.
Yeah.
And cool. Cause I can dance.
I know. So what about people who haven't danced? Maybe they're, you know, our age, they've never danced. And they're like, I'm so worried to go try and dance, right? People feel scared. They're scared they're going to look silly, all that. What's your advice to people like that? Because I believe dance is magic too. I'm with you. And I feel like everyone needs to discover dance, right? Dance and movement and all that stuff. So what's your tips to people that might be sitting here listening like, oh, that's nice. They're dancers. But I feel like I have 2 left feet. I'm going to look crazy in this class. What do you think?
Well, for people that don't care to dance, I wouldn't try to convince you, right? Because you have to kind of find that on your own. Because you know when you go to, like, you're dancing at a wedding or something and you try to get, they're like, no, 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 no. You try to get them up and they're just absolutely not having it. They're one of those people that just doesn't want to. They don't have it in them. That's one thing. But if you have it in you, but you're just afraid. I mean, this is like one of those things, like, you know, face your fears type idea. But at the same time, and the environment that one is in, usually a dance environment is a warm, inviting environment, non-judgmental environment. However, you do come across situations where it's not like that and people might feel a certain way. But I always tell people, it does, especially in my cardio class, if you're learning choreography, you're learning to become a competitive dancer, I'm going to talk to you a slightly different. But for someone who just wants to move and feel the music, I would say, who cares if you have two left feet? You won't always. And who cares if you look dumb or you feel like you look dumb? No one's here to judge you. You just feel, by the end of the day, if you just actually let go and do it, you're going to feel so good that that's going to diminish with the time anyway. Right?
Yeah.
And real dancers and the real people that are in that environment that really, they're not going to judge you or point a finger at you or make you feel any kind of way anyways.
No.
So just do it.
Get out there and dance if you want to.
Shut up and dance.
And so many times I think people think everyone is looking at them, but people are just looking at themselves, the teacher. They're not worried about all everyone else. You know what I mean? People are like, oh my God, looking. Like, I look crazy in Zumba classes sometimes, and I'm like a Latin dancer, a belly dancer. I still look crazy because I'm like, shoot, what's happening?
I feel
we're all, you know, we're all beginners at some point. With certain things, right?
Like put me in a kizomba class.
Well, yeah, I know. Put
no
me in
clue.
Classes, and I'll just be like, "What is going on?" Put me in your class. Like, we were doing those crazy combos at one point. Terrio was showing me some craziness, and I was just like, I don't know how to salsa all of a sudden. What is happening?
No, it's just because I was trying to challenge you. I was trying to give you stuff.
Yeah.
Outside the box, crazy, not the nightclub stuff.
Yeah, your crazy stuff. I loved it. So what about all your gymnastic stuff? Like, what are you doing with that? What's that all about? I don't even know anything about that world.
Okay. So I started rhythmic gymnastics, which is ribbon, ball, hoop, clubs, and rope, which is technically, it used to be called modern gymnastics. This woman, Mrs. Koop, she brought rhythmic gymnastics to Canada from Estonia 70-something years ago. The reason I know the kind of year is because I performed at the 60-year anniversary as a former Canadian champion. I actually left my sport. I still performed in my sport. I retired very young, 15 years old. I was Canadian champion, 12, 13, 14. And retired at 15 and stayed in the sport as a coach and as a performer and then started to get really heavy into salsa and then salsa took over, right? So I kind of left. I used it, but I left the sport, like the inside of the sport, went to California. Then I lived in Mexico too. And I was trying to kind of get into Mexican gymnastics because I thought I was going to stay in Mexico for a while. And I thought, it'd be kind of cool to choreograph for the Mexican team or something. And so my mom got sick and then I ended up coming home and I didn't end up doing that. But when I came back, I had already done like a couple of shows. Like Lorraine Randolph was one of my coaches and she was asked to do a choreography for the anniversary, like huge event. And she couldn't do it. So she passed it on to me and I choreographed a Bollywood gymnastics number and like kind of starred in it with 39 gymnasts in front of 15 countries that came to Canada. So it was kind of like my first boom going back. And I choreographed for the Olympic team that year. I did like their gala routine and I did some of their choreo for the Olympics. Like I wasn't their coach, but I just kind of gave them some stuff, right? And it kind of opened the door for me to kind of get back into gymnastics. So since then, I'm like the workshop girl in rhythmic and I'm the dance choreographer. So they bring me in for dance workshops, but because rhythmic is part dance. So in my club where I was a gymnast, it's now owned by a former coach that I knew back when I came in to do a workshop from a gymnast who met me from something else. And she's like, oh my God, Teddy, the Russian accent, Teddy. And I was like, Hey, and she's like, you want to work here? And I was like, I don't live here, but if I come back, sure. And then I came back and she's like, here's your job. head of the dance department. So I'm still there. And I do choreo for gymnasts, but I don't coach gymnastics. Like, it's a little bit too political for me now. Okay. So I do the dance department. But then I just recently, actually today was my first day. Just recently I was asked by that Mrs. Group to coach the AGG group routine, which is a new division of rhythmic gymnastics without apparatus. It's kind of like dance on crack, like five, seven, nine. It's like a crazy routine. It's like acro and gymnastics and dance and all these lifts and stuff. It's like everything mixed together. It's this new category. And she's like, I want you to head up the world championship team. Worlds are in November. And I'm like, okay. So I'm starting on that now. So on the side from music and dance company, I'm now coaching the world championship team for Canada.
Wow. That's awesome. Congrats on that. That's cool.
Aesthetics is not in Olympics yet, but I think that if it does come to the Olympics while I'm still doing this, then we might visit that. And I never got to go to the Olympics as a gymnast. It was kind of like, it was 2 years away and I was retiring. And because it's, you know, obviously every 4 years. So it just, I didn't see myself. My body was changing. I was hitting puberty and I was like, oh, this is not going to work. My butt didn't fit into my suit anymore. They would look at me. The Russians and Bulgarians were like, we don't want to look at her. You know, her butt is the size of whatever.
Speaking about butts, let's talk about body image there. Nice one.
Okay. Well, there's more. I don't have a very good body image. Let me explain.
I want to hear about body image, please.
Yeah, this is very important. I've even lost jobs over this, and I'll take you through the journey. So, as a gymnast, I was always the fat one. Okay, and I'm talking like 12 years old, 5 feet tall, and 63 pounds considered fat. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't have the butt really yet. Like,
that was later.
It grew. And so I was always body shamed. I remember one time sitting in a group of girls. I was the Canadian champion at the time. And a coach came from Moncton. She was like one of the head coaches of the national team or whatever. And she sat us all down and the group was preparing for a world championship. And I was just on my way, like my next year I was out, right? And she said, all of you are fat. All of you need a crash diet, especially you. And she pointed at me, and I was not the biggest one, but she singled me out, I guess because I was a Canadian champion. I don't know. And I was starting to develop, right? So, I was solid as a rock, girl. I don't know how they thought I was fat, but I guess because my booty grew and that was it. But I had such a poor image and I had such a good body. And I was so strong and I still am so strong. That training has helped me maintain. Like I still got my legs. Yeah. I can still do abs for days. You know, I'm not catching my leg behind my head anymore, but I can still go into a bridge. I can still do walkovers. You know, I can still do a lot of stuff because of the body memory. So as I progressed and I became older, now I'm like 20 years old and I have a great body, but I'm still stuck on being skinny like Russian gymnastics. And I don't have that body and I just don't. You know, I have an ethnic body. So I started to it started to play with my head and I go on these weird diets and always try and work out there and here and different stuff. And then I moved to LA and in Canada, it wasn't so bad. I was like, okay, but over there, they were looking at the time when I got there, they were looking for six packs and no hips. And I was with some girls that they were like half my size. And they were like, we think she's the best salsa dancer we've ever seen, but she's fat. And they're like, fat? And I was fit. I was so fit.
I know.
And I was like, I don't understand. So then I got hired for like a samba gig and the samba bikini was just like smaller than I was used to. Cause like there's Brazilians everywhere. And it was like pubic bone low. Okay.
Yeah.
And I had like a little tiny belly dance pooch and everyone was so skinny. And I just stood in front of the mirror and I was like, this does not fit me properly. I don't look good. And I was so, and the girl overheard me and she fired me. I did the show and then she fired me for next gigs because she said, I can't work with someone who has a poor body image like that. Oh, because I was tripping because I didn't look good in the costume and I needed costumes to really be fit. to my body type, and then it doesn't look like that. But when I'm wearing a skinny girl's costume, it didn't, you know what I mean, right?
It's hard to go in someone else's. Yeah.
Yeah. So she actually let me go. And there was a big struggle with weight in Los Angeles. In belly dance world, I was fine. But in the samba world, I was not, you know?
Yeah.
And it really played with my head. And then I just really went straight, like really hard into music. And I was still dancing, and I'm always going to dance. But I felt like as a singer, I could get away with wearing different outfits and being like unique in my outfit and being able to cover up what I felt subconscious about, and then show off what I wasn't. And then then I started to get really comfortable in my skin.
That's good, yeah.
And then all of a sudden I developed fibroids and I looked pregnant.
Really, eh?
Big ones. So then they're like, ooh, you need to take these out. So I was like, I was asking for quite some time because it started to change. Like now my body from the side was bigger, and they're like, you need to have a hysterectomy. And then I was on a waiting list for a year, and then my body image went straight down. And then finally they called me. I got my surgery, and I had to sit still for 2.5 months, and I just started.
Oh my gosh. How did you do that?
Yeah, so I had five holes in my stomach, so.
Yeah, wow, you had to just.
Yeah, but I went really hard in the gym before the surgery. Yeah. And like a couple months before, so I wouldn't be too far set back. And to be honest, I'm still climbing the ladder back. Like I started training again just a month ago, and I have scars, but they're getting better. I'm a little out of shape for my standard, I guess, but I'm starting to just be like, you know, look, this is what it is. I have to to love that I got cured of that big problem that I had.
Exactly. And now I just,
gotta work back up. It's like I tell myself mentally that I'm training for the Olympics.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like that. I like to have something in my head like that, like kind of like encouraging me, like, okay, here I go.
Yeah, because
and I think that happens. I think it's really interesting. I think as we age more and more and more, things do. There are setbacks, and then we have to pull ourselves back up and be like, all right, starting over, here we go, better than before.
Like for me, age, like when I'm like 60 years old, I want to look my best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just want to keep getting better and better. And, you know, I mean, obviously at some point you're going to get wrinkles and you're going to get a little bit older, but I don't even think like, I'm like, age means nothing. I want to pump iron until I can't lift anything anymore. My grandfather's 98. Right. He still has his little pedals by his thing, by his chair. He still does little arm weights. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be us. It's going to be amazing. So do you do weight training? You do weight training. What's your fitness regimen like now, currently?
Just before the pandemic, I hooked up with a trainer. He actually passed away from leukemia last year, not even a year ago. And he and his girlfriend, she won her first fitness body at 50 years old. Okay.
That's inspirational. That's nice.
Amazing. And so she, she came in, they were coming into the gym and they were watching my class and they came up to me so many times. They were like, we love your energy. We want to train you. And I was like, what? Yeah. So they started to show me like, you know, little tricks and stuff of, you know, how to do stuff. And they were training me just for free, just for fun. Cause they wanted to show me the right way.
Yeah.
And then my body started to change and I was like, ooh, okay. And then COVID, right? And then for COVID, I didn't see the inside of a gym for 2 years. And I was doing some stuff in my house. And then I was dealing with all the fibroids, whatever. And I was like, look, I need to do something. I need to train with weights because I'm an athlete and because I feel like cardio doesn't do really much for me. I have to get my ass handed to me on a platter for it to make a difference, like in every which way. So then I got hooked up with this girl, Laura Bennett. And she is a young girl, like in her 20s. And she she's got a body of steel. And I can only train a couple days a week right now, twice a week, as I do cardio a couple days and I teach dance and gymnastics the other days and I do music the other days. So I only have 2 days right now to actually lift. But this girl has me doing deadlifts and I'm squatting like with the, you know, 75 pounds. I'm doing hip thrusts. I'm doing all the stuff. I'm doing, you know what I mean? Split squats.
Yeah.
Split squats. Nice. Yeah, she's killing me. I'm like sore as we speak right now.
I know. It's good. Sore though. Good sore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good. So you're going on a new venture there of weight training and getting that all in. That's awesome. It's always fun to learn new things like split squats.
I don't plan on being a bodybuilder or anything like that. Like, I,
no?
You know, like, you know what?
Add that.
The food, you know, like that food situation, girl, like preps. I don't sometimes, I actually started intermittent fasting recently because the owner of my gymnastics, she had some kind of disease. She didn't tell, I don't remember the name. Like she said, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. She had this thing. She started intermittent fasting. She lost 40 pounds. She's like over 60 and she lost, or close to 70, I think. She's lost 40 pounds and she got rid of whatever ailment that for 20 years I've been trying to figure her out. Wow. 11 months, no more ailment. So she's like, you got to try this. So I started a few weeks ago, intermittent fasting. Now I'm not so good with not eating, but I figured out a way to do it like mostly at night. Like I started fasting early today because normally I start at 12 because I'm up till 4 and then I don't eat till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But some days when I like tomorrow I'm teaching at 12. So I started fasting at 9:30 and I will go till I won't eat before that cardio class, but I'll have a protein shake before cardio class, in between cardio class and weight training. And then when I, after weight training, then I'll protein it up, you know, and start going like that. But I'm trying to, you know, implement it. I'm going to try and go in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to try and squeeze in a third. I'd like to get up to 4 days of weight training and I just want my best body. I just want to be fit. I don't have to look a specific way. But I just want to be, you know, strong. I feel strong. I feel strong. Like I got my little skinny little forearms, you know, they're starting to come in. You know, so because I have really scrawny arms. So I'm just trying to like build them up a little bit. In some places a little smaller, in some places a little bit bigger. And
definitely. That's what I love about weight training.
So I'm enjoying it. I have a little private gym that's near. It's actually not even a gym. It's two athletes own a space that is like a gym. They have one of everything, but they don't have like 10 of this, 10 of that. It's none of that. There's green. There's the pushy thing. What's that thing called again?
The pushy thing
that they make me run like a champ with that thing. I forgot that. It's like a horse with fucking things on it. Anyway, we have enough space for that. These two athletes own it. And the people that go there are just, but it's like only communication, like it's like who you know. So the owner of Mexitaco, where I'm doing my show, their son is a singer. He performs with me. Him and I were talking. Oh, I have this trainer at this private little thing. There's a girl there. You should meet her. I went in there, boom, and that's how we got in. Because you can't just show up there. It's like, you know, you gotta know. It's a VIP gym. It's very small, hidden.
Awesome.
And that's what I'm doing.
And speaking about your event, let's discuss your event coming up.
Yay!
In April, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us all about it. It's going to be all the amazing things you do all blended in there.
So it's my 19th birthday again. And
good.
Celebrating being legal again. I'm going to do, they're closing. It's a late night because I'm a nocturnal being, right? But at the same time, the restaurant is closing down for me. They're actually closing a little bit early. They have a Mexican folklore show and then they're going to shut it down. And 11:30 doors open. It's $10. The money is not being split with the restaurant. All $10 goes to me to pay for the show. And I have 4 dancers and I will be doing my new song, Titi Cobra, which is an Arabic Spanish fusion. It's in Spanish, but the music is me. You'll hear. I'm like Titi Cobra. Titi is my nickname. Titi Loca is my nickname. And Titi Cobra is because in the chorus, I go back and forth from Titi Te Cobra and Titi Tu Cobra. It's like, I'm your cobra, but I'm also going to charge you because I talk about like money and I talk about the dirtiness of the music industry kind of underneath it all. But I'm also talking about being like this powerful goddess, Medusa, crazy woman that don't
that
mess with
me.
That
is how I see you. Definitely. That is you. Love that. So that is you.
My photo shoot. I see that. My photo shoot is tomorrow. I'm wearing a snake skin, like a snake print, like bodysuit and little thing. Awesome. And I'm doing a lot of different, like I have like white eye, like zombie eyes, and like I might put some teeth in, and I don't know, I might character it up a little bit. But TT Cobra comes out that night. There will be some specialty merch. If you want to have dinner, you have to get there before 11:30. After 11:30, they'll have little things like churros, taquitos, morada margaritas, purple margaritas. And that's it. It's just going to be a party after the show, like 12 o'clock, 12:30. Dancing starts for 2 hours only because we close at 2:30 in the morning. So it's 11:30 to 2:30. There will be a DJ, and I invited a lot of the old school salseros. So I'm hoping that we have a new
reunion time,
a reunion old school, and some new school. Like some of my, it's all ages. So some of my students are going to come as well, like some of my dance students. And so it's going to be, and some family, some of my family's not in town. Some of my family's in Mexico, and some people are not able to come, babies and stuff like that. But my dad might come, and some of my cousins might come. My sister-in-law, So.
She's your DJ, eh? Wow.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. She's a Brazilian DJ. She's my DJ. You need to come. Bring your hubby.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. And as we were talking about you being this force and this, I don't know, just I've always seen you that way. Do you have any advice to anyone else who might be feeling kind of like, I don't feel confident. I don't feel like a, you know, like a cobra. Do you have advice to let your inner, you know, whatever out? Like, do you have any advice?
Your inner goddess.
Inner goddess, let's
sum it up into the goddess category, because all those different things that talked about could just be under the goddess category, right? And I'm a Greek goddess too.
Give us tips.
All people, not just women, but all people have their inner god and their inner goddess, right? Mm-hmm. The thing is that sometimes it's hard to find it. And, you know, I can't tell you exactly how to do it to find it, because dancing is definitely a way to find it, I feel, for a lot of people. But for some people, maybe it's not. Maybe it is in sport. Maybe it's in self-reflection. Maybe it's in meditation. Maybe it's in a ritual of some sort. But for me, because I started as entertainer at such a young age, I had to learn first how to not be jealous, right? Because like, I think naturally as human beings, sometimes we want what other people have. Oh, I want to dance like her, whatever. You got to look at that person, appreciate what they brought to the table, and know that there's enough for everybody. There's enough talent to be, you know, everyone can be seen.
Yeah.
Everyone's talent can be recognized. So even if you haven't even honed your talent yet or brought it to like that high level yet, it still has to be recognized. It's still a part of you. And I think everyone has a light and everyone should shine it. You know, and all of us should encourage each other to do that.
Yes. Yeah. That's a big one. I love that.
I'm all about empowering. Like, there's people that hate me because I'm like this. And I don't, that's obviously they're darker and they're not as of the light like some of us are. But I've had to encounter women like talk to me poorly and I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help. I'm always trying to help. And they like throw it in my face. Like there was this one artist that I was inviting her to a radio interview and tried to make her feel like part of like the thing. And she just kept on fighting me and I had to let it go. And it ended up getting kind of ugly. And I was like, what is the deal? I feel like it was envy. It was jealousy. It was like, she was talented too, but maybe she wasn't recognizing her own talent and getting jealous of other people and lashing out at them. So, women, men, doesn't matter.
Weird. Yeah.
We have to empower people, especially right now. This world is a disaster.
Yeah.
We need to stick together and empower
each other. Yeah. Lift each other up, right?
Yes, 100%. Yeah,
definitely. Well, is there anything else you want to say? Is there anything else that you want to put out there in the world?
You are one of the best belly dancers I've ever seen. I love watching you belly dance.
No, not that. But thank you.
But I thought of it. I was like, damn, girl.
Came to mind.
No, seriously.
Thank you. That's
many things, dancer, but belly dance is like, out there in the world. I don't know. There's so many things. Honestly, I just want everyone to be happy. I know it's cliche, world peace. I wish world peace. And I wish that everyone would follow their light. I know there's always light and there's always dark. I know there's both sides. But, you know, I encourage people to become more of the light and better to themselves and to others, and to follow their dreams, because I'm a dreamer. You know, I dream all day long, and in my dreams comes my creations. You know, I dream it. I'll listen to a piece of music, and I dream a little dream, and then that's how it becomes reality.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say keep dreaming, because if you dream that, it can come true.
Definitely, and it has come true. I mean, you see all around you, right? All your magical stuff you do. Oh, so thank you so much for being here. It's been super fun talking to you again. It's been a while.
I know. Oh my God.
Why don't you let everyone know where to find you online?
You can find me anywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Teria Morada Music are my handles. I'm not a Twitter. I have a Twitter that is attached to some of my other accounts under Teria Fans with a Z, but I don't really use Twitter much. My own website, Teria Morada Music. If you just Google me, Teria, or DuckDuckGo me, Teria Morada or Teria Morada Music, you'll find a whole bunch of stuff. Music. You'll get confused a little bit. You'll be like, what is she doing? Oh, she's a gymnast. She's a dancer. She's a singer.
I love that. I relate to that.
Yeah.
People are like, what do you do? I don't understand. What are you doing? I'm like, but then I look at you. You're my role model. She's doing a lot.
My mother used to say to me, jack of all trades, master of none. I'm like, Mom, yeah, I want to be master of all. I'm not master of all of them, but I know. I don't venture outside of my stuff too much. You know,
right.
This is what I do 24 hours a day. But I feel like, cause it's really my calling, and I'm so lucky that I enjoy what I do so much. I don't like the dirty business side. I don't like the business side of anything that I do. Cause I'm like all artsy, but aside from that, just, you know, being able to live what my dreams are. I mean, what else? Even if it's sometimes it's tough, it's still worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Just before we go, now you led me to another question. Sorry. Before we go, what about people who are not maybe living all their dreams and like they're stuck at a job they don't like or something like that? Do you have any advice on any of that? How could they slowly kind of try and realize their dreams?
Change jobs ASAP.
Yeah.
One. Also two, like, I think it's the fear factor. I think that if people stepped out of that fear, I mean, not stepped out, but kind of embrace it, because fear makes change kind of thing. And like, if you're comfortable and just sitting around and blah, 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 like a lot of change is not going to happen out of there. But if you face your fear and you just dream, like, you just know that it's possible, have faith and what you want to do. Some people can't step out completely, and they kind of have, like, you know, like a day job, mm-hmm. and they do their art or whatever it is. And that's okay too, if you're truly happy doing that. But some people are not happy doing that. So just go for it. What do you have to lose? Right?
Right.
Like, and always change your mind and do it a different
way. That's right. That's true too.
Life is short. And I mean,
do it.
We don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Make your mark and do what you want to do while you can.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. Hopefully we'll see you at your event in April.
I would love that if you came.
Yeah, I would love to come. So hopefully see you then. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast.
Thank you for having
me. Until next time. Thank you.
Bye.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of Loving Yourself Fit podcast. If you loved it, help us out and leave a like, a review. It goes a long way here on iTunes. Definitely tell your friends about it, and see you next week. Same time, same place. Loving Yourself Fit podcast.